Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. I am going to be calling my guest here in just a minute. His name is Joe Castro, and I'm going to try to get this in as quickly as I can because we've only got a half an hour with him tonight. Okay, coming up shortly, hopefully, Joe Castro. Most of you know who he is. Should be ready. Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. We're on the air then.
Okay, hold on a second.
How are you doing?
On the TV. Let me turn on the TV. One second.
Okay. All right, well, he's turning off the TV. I'll just talk for a couple seconds till he comes back. I'm sure everybody knows that he's a special effects artist, a master.
I'm going to put on my headphones and see if it comes in clear. One second.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you fine.
Great. Good. Okay. Hi, Mac. How you doing today?
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just here. We're working on some stuff inside in the air conditioning. I have a studio out on the property where I do my special effects work, and it's a little warm today out there, even though I have an air conditioner, but I think it's going to be 106 today in Southern California here in Van Nuys where I work. It's about 15 minutes north of Hollywood, and it's very warm today, so I'm spending some of the day inside working, and then when the sun sets, I'll go out to the studio and work a little bit out there.
Yeah,
everything's
not
going.
Hot here.
So how you been? What's going on?
Well, I figure we'll just get right into the show since we've only got a half an hour. So what's going
okay.
on is we're going to talk about you. So I know you started your career young when you were 15. And so just talk about that for a few minutes, what it was like getting started so young, how your parents help you out, and stuff like that.
I see. Okay, yeah, that's a great topic. It's one of my favorites, to be honest with you. You know, I was very young when my father recognized that I was an artist and that I was talented and I had a natural-born talent. I think I want to say 5 years old. That was my last year in preschool. And I had painted a picture of a clown, a finger painting of a clown. I remember this very clearly. And it was, you know, young children, when they finger paint, you know, there's obviously, you know, leeway you give to them when you compliment them on the job well done and whatnot. But my father saw something in what I had done that was different. It was odd. It was special. It was different. I had actually painted an actual clown. I mean, no one could deny what it was. You know, people look at it and go, oh, that's amazing. A five-year-old made that? And when I painted that and I showed it to my father when I came home, he lifted me up above his head in the sky and said, this is so good. Because you're really, really good as an artist.
Aww.
And I remember that moment, just like it was yesterday. And, you know, that's where it really all began. And then my father watched me. He was my biggest cheerleader and my biggest confidant and supporter growing up. And he would tell me the truth about my work and about the world around me. And by the time I was 7, he knew that I liked dinosaurs and he knew that I liked dragons. And I actually wanted to be a paleontologist. I think that's what it is. A paleontologist.
Yeah.
That's the person that looks for dinosaur bones. Paleontologist, I believe.
Right.
Is, paleontologists look for dinosaur bones. And I thought, well, that's something that I could get into. When I was 7 years old, I wanted to be a paleontologist. And so he was babysitting me one weekend when my mother was away on a trip with her work friends on a cruise. This was back in 1977. And she had gone away for the weekend with her girlfriends, and he was babysitting me. And he said, watch this, son. I'm going to go outside and do some work on the ranch, and I don't want you to get hurt. and I want you to, I think he goes, I think you're going to like this. And so it was a Saturday afternoon, and he sat me down in front of the TV, and it was Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. And I watched that movie. I watched that movie. I was 7 years old, and I watched that film. And when that movie was done, I knew exactly what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I wanted to make monsters and movies and special effects. And he knew. My dad knew. He knew that I would love it. He knew that I would love that film. And when it ended, I didn't want it to end. And from that moment on, I've been chasing this dream to be a special effects artist and a makeup artist. And I don't really consider myself a makeup artist so much, even though I do work with makeup materials, because most of my special effects work is kind of more of an illusion, creating kind of like a magic kind of illusion kind of thing. So I consider myself a special effects artist. Yeah, yeah. That was the beginning. That was where it all really all started. I hope that it's I hope that answers your question. Yeah.
Oh, no, that was very interesting. I appreciate you telling us about that. Well, we'll just move right along to the first feature film that you did was called Ceremony, and that was shot on the 35mm. And you won Silver Star Award. Yeah, tell us
about that. Okay, well, you know, when I graduated from high school, I came out to Los Angeles in 1989. I was 19 years old, and I met another young man. He was probably no more than 6 or 7 years older than me. His name was Rex Hickok, and he we made movies together. We made films together, videos together, movies together. And then what happened was I wanted to make a horror film. We weren't making horror movies at the time. And I wanted to make a horror movie, and he believed in me, and he got his grandmother to put up the money for my first feature film, and it was called Ceremony, and we shot the movie on 35mm Panavision, which is a big, big ordeal, a big seat, and most filmmakers, they have no idea what that involves. You know, it's a very intense process. You have to purchase film, and the film it takes 35 frames for 1 second of film on the screen. And just if you purchase 90 minutes worth of 35mm film, that's just purchasing it. That's not developing it, because you have to develop it just like a regular film, like a camera you take with a picture camera. It costs, at the time, I think it cost $75,000. Just for 90 minutes worth of film stock. That's just the stock of the film. It does not include the developing. The developing costs equal to the purchase of the film stock. So that's another $75,000. Now, just because you've developed the film and you've shot the film and you shot 90 minutes of it, that's only if you shoot a 1-to-1 shooting ratio, which is basically you get one take per shot. You know what I'm saying? So you don't get to do two takes if you mess up, you know? And so young filmmakers these days, they have it real easy with this digital stuff. And it was much more of a, and I hate to use the term boys, but it was a bad boys club to make a movie back in the day when I was growing up. You had to have a huge team of people. No one could do it alone. And it took a lot of talent and skill, and it took money to do it. And, so we made this feature film, and it's kind of like a long adventure. It took me 2.5 years to get the movie done. I'm so happy that we did it. It stars Forrest J. Ackerman. Forrest J. Ackerman was the man that invented made the very first sci-fi horror magazine ever. And it was called Famous Monsters of Filmland, and it was a staple in the industry as being, you know, he was basically the first horror sci-fi movie junkie ever. Not junkie, what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of like a groupie. He was a groupie. He was a squid. He was the first fanboy into sci-fi horror films ever. And that was Forrest J. Ackerman. And so he was the star of my first feature film. And that man has done so much for so many people all over the world, throughout the industry, and anybody that likes science fiction or horror films. And I would hope that young people these days would go back and they would Google Forrest J. Ackerman and Famous Monsters of Filmland, and they would know who this man is, because this man is the reason why you and I are having this conversation today. That's how important
right.
this man is. Yeah. And so what makes Forrest Ackerman such a staple, and like, why should everybody know who he was? Because Forrest Ackerman used to, when he was a young man, he would sneak onto the Universal lot when they were shooting movies like Frankenstein and Dracula, and he would sneak onto the set and he would meet the directors. That's how different a world it used to be back in the day when they were making movies. And in fact, till the day he died, Forrest Ackerman had a vial of blood that was used on the set of the original Dracula, starring Boris Karloff. I mean, Bela Lugosi. And he would take it out, and he would hold it up, and he'd show it to people. And he had this huge collection of sci-fi horror memorabilia. And so he made that magazine, Famous Monsters of Filmland. And I used to read it growing up, and it inspired me to be a filmmaker. And so when I got to put Forrest Ackerman in my first feature film, he then interviewed me, and I became he put me in the magazine that I grew up reading. Eventually became a story in the magazine that inspired me as a young man. So that was a real honor, and that's that for that film. Yeah, that's that for that film. Yeah, yeah. Well, Ceremony was my
very
first
cool.
feature film. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a very hard find,
okay.
but I think they do still sell it online in foreign countries like Thailand, and I think the French still sell it too. Yeah.
Okay, the next one I wanted to talk about is, wanted you to talk about Terror Toons that you directed, produced, you created the special effects, you wrote the story, and of course there's been four sequels. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell you what to say or how long to take, but I'm just letting you know that we've only got like 17 minutes left, so.
Okay. All right. So I'll make this part quick. So Terror Toons is a movie franchise that my partner Steven Escobar and I produced and wrote and directed together, and we own. And you can get the movies online right now. Part one and part three are available on Amazon Prime. And basically, Terror Toons is a movie about killer cartoons, and it's part live action, part animated, and it's loaded with special effects, and it has lots of blood. But it's a fun film, and it's has a very dark kind of twisted side to it. You think of like Ren and Stimpy meet like a slasher movie. It's very much in the same vein as like Adult Swim made tried to make a serious slasher horror film, and it's got all kinds of really crazy kind of like wild innovative ideas in it. And we made the first movie back in 2001, and it's a movie about a mad scientist, Dr. Carnage, and his sidekick Max Assassin, and they kind of what they do is they come out of the cartoon universe into our world, and they kill people using cartoon weapons, but you die for real. You die for real in very bloody, horrible on-screen deaths. Yeah. How's that? Does that explain it?
Oh, yeah. And I saw it. I love that movie. I used it as a date movie. So.
Oh, nice. That makes me feel very, very honored, very proud. Very nice. Yeah, that movie is a good gauge to find out whether or not if someone's going if you're a connoisseur for that type of cult cinema, that would be a very good film to gauge whether or not the person is in it for the long haul or not.
For sure is. Moving on to the next one is because this one you might want to talk about a little bit more. The Summer of Massacre, because that's the one, you know, you were special effects coordinator and the makeup, and you did prosthetic effects, you directed it, produced it, the visual effects producer, and you won the Guinness Book of World Record for the highest body count in a slasher film with 155 kills. So
that's
tell
right.
us about that one.
Well, The Summer of Massacre is a movie that my partner, Steven Escobar, and I produced and wrote and directed with a friend of ours. His name is Schroeder, and Schroeder is the owner and editor of Cult Movies Magazine. And all three of us got together and decided to make this film. And it was very hush-hush while we were making it. Because when I started writing and coming up with the idea for this movie, I wanted to set a Guinness Book of World Record for the highest body count in the slasher movie. And I knew that I would need lots of people that would be willing to die on camera. And it's a very specific category. It takes a lot of attention to detail to make this happen. But we worked very hard for about 18 months to produce this film. And I asked family and friends and actors from all over Hollywood to come and be in the movie. And as I was making the film, I shot most of the film with practical effects. But at the same time, I was going to school to learn CGI. So I was incorporating the CGI and the practical effects together. So the movie is very stylized. It's kind of like a graphic novel come to life, but it's a very bloody film. It's a slasher film, and it's an anthology movie. It has four stories in it with wraparounds. And let's put it this way: there's 155 kills in the movie, and the movie is 98 minutes long. So you're going to get more than one death every minute, and. It's a fun film. It doesn't take itself seriously if you like that sort of thing. And there's plenty of gore and fun and kills and killers and drama going on in the film. It's one of my favorite films. And yes, we were able to achieve the Guinness Book of World Record. But like I said, we kept it really hush-hush until we finally got the record and then we announced it. And I'll be honest with you, Mac, there was a lot of jealousy behind us getting that award and making that film possible. Okay. And, there was a lot of jealousy, and I lost a lot of friends because of that. You know, as we move up in our careers, our inner group gets smaller, and, the real people start to show their true colors. Jealousy is a very common thing, and it's something that we just have to move past and move forward and keep going, regardless of whether or not it shows up in our lives. So I have no regrets for that film. You know, like I said, I was learning CGI when I made that film. Some of the CGI in the film is very experimental, but the real common thread over the whole film, it all has a very unique, common look. And I think that the people that really can appreciate it and enjoy it really, really, truly can understand what we were trying to do. And it has a really, really nice, I've noticed that my films have a really nice, fun, loving fan following, you know, and that's what's really important to me.
Oh, well, that's nice, because the fans are important. I mean, after all, the ones watching your stuff.
That's right.
One thing I wanted you to make sure you let the listeners, whatever listeners there may be, let them know where they can get that, because I know you've been advertising it and I've been putting it on my wall. So if you could just shortly tell people how they can get that movie.
Yeah, if you go to facebook.com/joe.castro, everything on my wall is public, and I advertise on my wall where you can purchase the film, and you can get that film now on DVD, and it's loaded with extras. I have all kinds of really cool, fun stuff on the DVD that you wouldn't normally get from, like, let's say, downloading it on Amazon Prime or something like that. Anyways, yeah, you know, you can contact me, send me a message, and I'll send you the link of how to purchase it, and most of all my films can be purchased there on my Facebook page. And once again, that's facebook.com/joe.castro.
Cool. Okay, one thing I did want to ask you, just a short question before we get to probably the last movie. Now, you've only got 7 acting credits on IMDb, so I was curious. Do you enjoy acting, or is that just one of those things that you do it when it's necessary?
I enjoy acting. And as a matter of fact, I recently took a very well-established acting class here in Hollywood to up my game in my acting career, and I wanted to start acting more. So if anybody out there is making movies and they need me to act and get in front of the camera, I'm getting in shape, and I've been taking, like I said, more acting classes, and I'm ready for my close-up. I'm ready to be on camera.
Okay, anybody, Joe Castro is ready for you to hire him as an actor.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Nice. Yeah, because I never know. Some people, they like, don't. So it's kind of hard to know unless they're famous for being an actor. So.
Right.
All right, so I wanted to make sure that I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to have you talk about, of course, xenophobia, because people in there that are my friends, including
yeah.
yourself, you were the special supervisor, you did the makeup, producer, writer, you directed, and this was such a good movie, everybody. You definitely want to buy this one, but listen to Joe tell you about it. So let us hear about it, Joe.
Well, okay. I just want to say that Xenophobia is a movie that my partner, Steven Escobar, and I produced, wrote, and directed. And we invited our friend Thomas J. Churchill to also direct one of the six segments in the film. But more importantly, it stars a really good friend of ours, Manu Iturami, from the Star Trek franchise. And Manu is basically takes the lead as the facilitator of a alien abduction support group for people who have had alien abduction encounters. And Xenophobia is the first feature film that is an alien abduction anthology movie. And, you know, I try to never make the same movie twice. So I'm always trying to come up with something new that no one's ever seen before. And that's one thing you can get out of my films is I always guarantee that you'll see something you've never seen before. And that this movie is no exception. And basically what I tried to do was I tried to produce a movie. It was a real homage to movies from the 80s that were science fiction horror. Movies like Extro. And even kind of a little bit like the Star Wars cantina scene, because what I wanted to do was produce a movie that had only practical aliens in it. I didn't want any CGI aliens in this film. There is some CGI in the movie, but all the aliens I did with a practical effect, and I'm really proud of that. I think people, there's a real love and a fondness for handcrafted special effects that CGI just can't replace. And so that was my whole goal with this film. And my partner, Steven, and I have been trying to make this movie for 20 years. And, you know, back in 2017, all the stars aligned, and we started putting this thing together. And it came out last year in 2019. It was 2018 when the stars aligned. And we shot it in 2018, and it came out last year, 2019. But it is available right now on all home media platforms. And it has a really great cast and plenty of aliens and monsters. It's a fun movie. It's just fun. You know, once again, a movie can commit is to be boring. I make sure that my movies are not boring. They're always loaded with fun. So thanks for acknowledging that film. I'm very proud of the movie Xenophobia, and I hope everybody goes out there and rents it and sees it.
I hope so. It's a cardinal sin for a movie to be boring. So.
That's right.
My biggest thing. You can have terrible acting, terrible special effects, and all kinds of bad stuff. As long as it's not boring, then that's okay to a certain degree.
That's right. That's right.
I've got like about 6 minutes left. So if you wanted to talk about anything, because I don't know what you're allowed to talk about, but if there's anything that you've got that's going to be coming out in the near future that you're allowed to talk about, go ahead and tell us about that.
Okay, I'll talk about a couple of things real fast, and then I want to jump in with a little bit about Herschel Gordon Lewis. Two projects that are coming out that I'm very excited about. One is The Barn 2, which is directed by Justin Seaman, and it's the sequel to The Barn, which you can see right now on Amazon Prime. And I love the original film, The Barn. It's a cult hit from 2015. And I reached out to the director a couple of years ago and told him how impressed I was with the first film. And so when they started producing the sequel, The Barn 2, which stars Linnea Quigley and Ari Levman and a big slew of movie stars, the director invited me to recreate the villains from the first film, a whole new vision of them, and invited me to be the special effects artist on the film. I'm very excited about this movie. Everybody look out for The Barn 2. And then, of course, there's also a movie called The Amityville Harvest, and also a movie titled Big Freakin' Rat. and they're both directed by my Thomas J. Churchill, and I was honored to create the special effects for both of those movies. And the reason why they're very cool films is because Thomas really likes to use practical effects in his movies. And once again, we go back to those handcrafted films, handcrafted filmmaking and handcrafted special effects. And Big Freaking Rat has the largest creature I've made to date yet, which is a giant rat. How big is it? Well, the director said, I want to be able to put somebody in the rat's mouth. That's how big I need it to be, Joe. I said, great, let's do it. And then, of course, some of the Amityville stuff I've tried to recreate or tried to create, I wanted it to be very haunting and scary. And I think I pulled off a couple of really cool, scary-looking apparitions in that film. I'm very excited for that movie's release. And then, of course, lastly, I'll talk about Terror Toons Part 4. And we're getting ready to do a big crowdfunding campaign for that film. Basically, most of the movie is already shot. And if you are part of the Terror Toons 4 crowdfunding campaign, once it goes live, you'll have the opportunity to be in a movie with Brink Stevens, Linnea Quigley, Debbie Rashan, Billy Butler from the color remake of Night of the Living Dead, and Friday 13th Part 7. It has a slew of actors in it, movie stars in it from Hollywood. Hollywood horror royalty will be in it. And I'm very excited about that film. And, of course, we'll be bringing back the original villains from the first movie, Max Assassin and the Mad Doctor, Dr. Carnage. And people will have the opportunity to die on camera in horrible, twisted, creepy cartoon deaths. And all that other good, great stuff. And then lastly, I want to talk a little bit about Herschel Gordon Lewis. Herschel Gordon Lewis was my mentor for many years. And most people don't know who Herschel Gordon Lewis is. But Herschel Gordon Lewis is a man that invented the slasher movie formula. And what is that? Real quick, like, the slasher movie formula is when a deranged killer stalks innocent victims one by one, killing each victim on camera in a gruesome death. And then at the climax of the movie, the killer, the deranged killer, dies at the hands of the hero or the heroine of the movie in an even more horrific on-screen death, which is the classic slasher movie formula. And that's the story that Herschel created in his very first slasher movie ever. It was titled Blood Feast, and he made the movie back in 1963. And I did have the honor to create special effects for the sequel to Blood Feast 2, back in 2002, where I met Herschel on set. And he became my mentor and one of my good friends. And he's actually the star of Terror Toons 3. And may he rest in peace. But he still inspires so many people all over the world to this very day.
Oh, yeah.
And they have no idea where all these concepts of gore and slashing and blood and killers come from. They come from Herschel.
Mm-hmm.
And I want him to always be remembered. And I want his name to be cherished. And I want him to be acknowledged. And I want him to be respected from now till the end of the filmmaking slasher genre time. I want everybody to remember that he was the man that helped start it all. So we got Forrest E. Ackerman and Herschel Gordon Lewis, two of my hugest mentors, and of course my father. My father was my biggest inspiration of all.
Aww. Yeah, it's always great to have your parents in your corner.
Go ahead.
You've got like a minute and a half, so go ahead.
And then there's the amazing people like you, Mac, who without you, I would not have the career that I have today. You are so instrumental in making my career happen. Why? Because you lift us up. You show other artists in an amazing positive light. It's exactly the food for growth that all artists need. This is why I have come so far in my career, because of people like you. And it's important to nurture and cherish and respect creative minds, because that's how we grow as a human race. Creativity is so important. So without you and without people like you and without the love that you bring to our genre, the genre wouldn't be as fun as it is today. And I just want to say thank you, Mac, for making the world a much more fun and amazing place to be by sharing the love that you share with me online and with this interview.
Aw, that's very sweet of you to say. I appreciate it. And,
it's
of
all
course,
true.
I want you to know how much that I appreciate all the excellent work you do. You are truly a master. And we're down to just a few seconds, so they will cut us off if we don't end it. So I just want to say to Joe Castro, thank you very much for being on the show. I hope you have a good night. And thank you again so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Mac. We'll talk to you real soon. Love you. Be safe out there.
Okay. Yeah,
bye-bye.
You too. Good night.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.